Just a couple of announcements first. We'll be returning to our normal confession times beginning tomorrow, and it doesn't seem that we need a lot of extra confession, so we'll be doing our normal time, which is 30 minutes before the daily Mass, 4:45 to 5:15 on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and 3:30 to 4:30 on Saturdays. And location, though, is different. It'll be either in or just outside St. Michael Hall, which is the building, of course, as you're leaving to the left. Secondly, we're very happy Father's Day to all of our fathers, and remembering those who have gone before us as well, and hope God pours down his blessings upon you all today. And finally, you may notice our Deacon Al is not able to use his left hand today as much. Apparently got stung by a couple of wasps in the hand and hit it and may have actually fractured it. So we'll pray for him, though he wanted me to tell you that you should see the other guy. But apparently it is just wasp stings. But in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. In our most challenging year of 2020, Jesus gives us no less of a challenging gospel. Quote, "Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my heavenly Father." Simply put, a disciple acknowledges Jesus Christ as the risen Son of God to others. It's not just a message for oneself. It's not merely for me, but it's to make him known. It's the purpose of the church. It's our purpose. Why else are we in existence? And we see whenever the church has not done this, has lost her focus, we get in trouble. Jesus' last words in Matthew's gospel, "Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." This is such a struggle for us, isn't it? Especially as Americans, though Europeans certainly struggle with it too. For some reason, we don't mind letting people know all about where we stand in all kinds of things, in terms of, say, a political party. Don't worry, I'm not going there. But we readily evangelize for our political parties. We argue about them, we post, and we do everything so people know what we think. Some might even mistake that for our actual religion. But there's not one of them that can bring us or anyone else to heaven. The world already has a Savior, and he's not running for office in this world. These are apples and oranges. When we evangelize, we even evangelize with incredible enthusiasm for things like smartphones and sports and all kinds of other things. But when it comes to our faith, we suddenly are quiet, even secret. How many times I have heard people who've known each other for years in Aiken, sometimes even neighbors, and then they saw each other here at an event at St. Mary's, and they said, "I didn't know you were Catholic." They just went to a different Mass. "What I say to you in the darkness," Jesus says, "speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops." If our faith is meaningful, then we need to let the world know about it. Now again, first and foremost, Jesus forces no one to be a disciple. But to be a living disciple of Jesus Christ is a choice, just as love is a choice to choose the good of the other. But if we choose to be one, then there are certain characteristics of discipleship that come along with it that should be evident. Otherwise, we are just disciples in name only, and it doesn't actually look like it in our lives. If you choose to play soccer, for instance, Well, don't use your hands, unless you're the goalie, but then you can't leave the box. If you choose to play golf, you can't change the scoring to the highest score wins and still call it golf. Think how many of you would win the Masters, right? Our faith, eternal life, Jesus as the God-man, these are things far more important than soccer or golf or anything else. Think, every one of Jesus' first apostles died a martyr's death, except St. John the Evangelist, who still didn't have a life full of roses and picnics, died in exile. Now, some of you may want to close your ears, I'll warn you, but I think it's important that we know how willing these people were to hand on their faith by knowing how they died. St. Peter, famously, is crucified upside down in Rome. St. Paul was beheaded there as well. James the Greater was beheaded in Jerusalem by Herod. Andrew was crucified on a cross shaped like an X. Bartholomew was skinned alive and then crucified in present-day Armenia. Philip was stoned and then crucified in present-day Turkey. Thomas was speared to death in India. James the Lesser was hurled from the city walls of Jerusalem and then beaten to death with stones and clubs. St. Jude Thaddeus was shot to death by arrows in Persia while tied to a cross. St. Matthew was either burned or stabbed to death. We don't know exactly which, but one of them happened. Simon the Zealot was sawed to pieces in the present-day kingdom of Georgia. Matthias, who had replaced Judas the Iscariot, was burned in Syria. All they had to do to save their lives was to stop talking about Jesus. Stop witnessing. Go back to a quiet life. They could have had a personal belief in their hearts, but they couldn't keep it quiet because what they saw, resurrection, they could not keep quiet. These witnesses to faith were not lukewarm. Fulton Sheen says, what is lukewarmness? Lukewarmness is love without sacrifice. There's no effort being made. It's doing the minimum. Love cannot be reduced to the indispensable minimum. Love requires, it demands sacrifice. It demands the maximum. And we know this in marriage or friendship. If you constantly do the minimum in marriage or friendship, just the minimum to get by in the relationship, what's going to happen? We tend to think it means that person doesn't really care, except perhaps for themselves. But if we are willing to sacrifice ourselves, sacrifice, a word that means to make holy, sacra facere, that burning love gives a witness beyond the self. So why don't we witness? Why do we hide our faith so much here? Probably the biggest answer is fear. St. John says, where there is love, there is no fear. But we, if we're honest, might just be afraid. What are we afraid of? Often, it's of what other people will think about us. Maybe we want to get ahead in the world, and Jesus can certainly be a liability in that, so we keep him quiet and hope he'll be merciful. And he is merciful. But can we call that love? Why believe it all? Three times today, in six verses, Jesus says, do not fear. Do not be afraid. Claim that supernatural courage. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.